Hello, everybody, and a very warm welcome to our Blue Christmas service. As we welcome you to our worship today, we welcome especially all who are joining us on the live stream. And we're very mindful as we gather today that this time of the year is a time when many people struggle and find things difficult. And while there is much emphasis on families getting together and parties and celebrations, there are those who will not be anticipating such things. Maybe people have experienced bereavement or loss, the breakdown of a relationship, the loss of employment, or they feel the pain of separation from friends and family because of circumstances or indeed the stresses of living through this pandemic. And today's service wants to acknowledge the sadness and the challenge of these realities, and indeed other challenges like financial worries, depression, and anxiety. One of the great truths of this Advent and Christmas season is that God became one of us, a human being who knew the struggles and difficulties of life, and who, through his Holy Spirit, promises to walk with us through every circumstance. And so we believe that he is with us today, as in this service from St. Finian's, in music, reflection, and the sharing of human experience, we ask Almighty God to reveal himself to us, even in the dark times we sometimes go through. Just wanted to very briefly mention a couple of notices for the week ahead before we light the second candle in our Advent wreath. On Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, our parish prayer meeting takes place over Zoom. The joining details are on the screen. And on Thursday evening at 7:30, we have the second of our midweek Advent series, all about lockdown heroes, those who were a great help to me and to my spiritual life during lockdown. And this week, we look forward to welcoming the Reverend Chris Bennett to share with us. Next Sunday, restrictions permitting, our services will be the service of morning prayer at 11 o'clock and evening prayer at 7. And so today, as we continue to think about all the preparations that God made for the coming of our Savior, we're going to refresh our memories and we're going to light the second candle in our Advent wreath. As we light the candles in our Advent wreath, we remember all the preparations God our Father made for the coming of his Son into the world. Our first candle reminded us of Abraham, Isaac, Moses, and David, who looked forward to the coming of Jesus. Today is the second Sunday in Advent, and today we remember how God our Father also spoke to people through his prophets and told them of the Christ who was to come. Isaiah said, "A child is born to us, a son is given to us. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Jeremiah said, "The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will choose as king a righteous descendant of David. This king will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our salvation. Ezekiel said, I will show myself holy among you in the sight of the nations. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Micah said, out of Bethlehem will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. And so today, as we light this second candle, we remember Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Micah, who all prepared the way for the Messiah who was to come. Amen. Our first hymn today is In the Bleak Midwinter. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. On those who lived in a land of deep shadow, a light has shone. For the yoke that was weighing upon them and the burden that was upon their shoulders, you have broken in pieces, O God, our renewer. God of mercy, hear our prayer in this Advent season, for ourselves and our families, and all who live with hurt, grief, sorrow, sickness, or painful memories of loss. We ask for strength for today, courage for tomorrow, and peace for the past. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who shares our life in joy and sorrow, death and new birth, despair and promise. Amen. In our first reading today, we hear some verses from the prophet Isaiah. "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and call to her that the time of service is ended. Look up to the heavens. Who made the stars, if not the one who calls each one by its own name? So mighty is God's power and strength that not one fails to answer. Why then do we question if God knows our troubles or cares, if we suffer injustice? Our God, the everlasting God, the creator of the farthest parts of the earth, never grows tired or weary. No one can fathom the depths of God's understanding. God gives power to the faint and strength to the powerless. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Here ends our first reading. And in our next song, we're going to hear about the light of the world who entered our darkness.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. And humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow. See my Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Our second Bible reading today reminds us that when burdens are piled on top of other burdens, the load can crush us. And Jesus offers to help carry our burdens and responsibilities. A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 11. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Here ends our second reading. Our next hymn reminds us of where our hope began as we hear the hymn, "O Little Town of Bethlehem."
Thank you.
As we think today of the many struggles people face, I wanted to have a chat with somebody who knows a fair bit about struggle and challenge, and to hear about how faith can make a difference in those situations. So this week, I sat down for a few minutes with one of our parishioners, Norman Slater. Here's our conversation.
Norman, thanks very much for speaking to me today about your experience. And for those who don't know you, would you mind telling us, first of all, a little bit about yourself and your background?
Well, thank you very much, John, for the opportunity to come and speak to you today. I'm Norman Slater, and I've been a parishioner here at St. Finian's for about 3 years now. And prior to that, I was at a nearby parish, Knockbreedon. I'm in my mid-60s, retired, a retired civil servant, and I'm married to Carol, and we have two grown-up children, Gary and Heather, and a lovely grandson in Edinburgh, Sullivan. So I think that's a little bit about me.
Lovely. And Norman, I know that Divine Healing Ministries has played a very important part in your faith journey. Would you be able to tell people a little bit just about your role with Divine Healing Ministries and how that role influenced your faith?
I think I've discovered, I've probably been a member of Divine Healing Ministries for the best part of 10 years, but at a more serious level within the last 5 years. And I really have to say it's a ministry that's transformational. It has certainly transformed my life. In terms of what I've learned, I have learned so much about my faith and the depth of my faith, and it needs to go deeper. But some of the highlights might be the importance of prayer in our lives and recognizing that the Lord does hear our prayers and he answers our prayers. Maybe not the way we want them answered, but he does answer them, and in his timing as well. It's also encouraged me to put my faith into action. And the opportunity, something I never thought I would be able to do, is sit down either with another member of the team or on my own with someone who comes for prayer and who is really almost at their wit's end, and to be able to reach out to people and bring comfort to them, and more importantly, bring them to the Lord. People sometimes think, is there some great gift about healing? Well, not really. The Lord has that gift of healing. So you're there as to bring people alongside. And maybe in my case, to develop a deep and intimate relationship with the Lord. I think there's a book, maybe Brother Lawrence or whatever, talked about living in the presence of God. And I think that is so important, that it's not just a Sunday thing, it's a 7-day-a-week thing. So those are some of the things that I've learned.
That's brilliant. And I also know that back in early 2019, you yourself were diagnosed with a very serious illness. And I wonder if you could tell us just a little bit about what it was like to be given that news. It must have been quite something to be told the news you were given.
Well, those of us of a certain age will know that there are regular tests for bowel cancer. And I, in a fairly relaxed manner, undertook the test at the beginning of 2019, only for it to come back negative and to discover that there was a tumour there, that tests would have to follow, and ultimately surgery and chemotherapy. So the news, I suppose, was something of, I think a shock wouldn't be the right word, but obviously concern. And at a very early stage in that journey, a colleague from Divine Healing Ministries gave me a verse of scripture to hold on to. And it's a verse of scripture that I have used almost daily. And it's from Deuteronomy and chapter 31, that the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And I think that sums up my attitude on the journey throughout into 2019 and into 2020. And I also think that verse is consistent with what I was saying earlier about living close to God, having that intimate relationship. So that was really my, almost my initial reaction
And can you tell me, what were the things that kept you going through the really tough times and the difficult moments? You mentioned there having to go through chemotherapy and obviously the treatment and the fatigue and other things that would have gone with that. What were the things that really kept you going through those difficult moments?
Well, I think there were two elements to that. And the first one was scripture. As I said earlier, I didn't really lose that verse from Deuteronomy. But whilst I was in hospital itself, there were maybe two passages give me particular strength and peace. First one was 23rd Psalm. And I think sometimes we take these great words of scripture for granted. But to be going into the operating theatre, knowing that the Lord is my shepherd and that he has me in green pastures and still waters, just brings great peace. But also from John chapter 10, again, the good shepherd, so important to know that protection is there and that the Lord knows his sheep and the sheep know him. So those areas of scripture from Deuteronomy through to John, very, very important. But prayer, and prayer is something which is really emphasized very strongly in Divine Healing Ministries. Brother David Jardine, the founder of the ministry, would often talk about being soaked in prayer. And I really took him at his word. So I wasn't shy at all in terms of asking people for prayer, whether that was clergy or family and friends, other people in the ministry. In short, anyone. In fact, I've stood in this church on a Tuesday night and asked the whole congregation to pray for me. And I've also asked for it to be increased at certain times when you're coming up to tests and surgery and the chemotherapy. And interestingly, the chemotherapy, people talk about the side effects. I would have to say that my side effects were minimal and those were surrendered to the Lord. So those were the two coping mechanisms, scripture and prayer.
Norman, it's really lovely to hear of that peace that you experienced going through such a difficult experience. And you recently took part in our first Alpha course over Zoom, which we just finished last week. And on one of those nights in the Alpha course, we looked at the subject of healing. And one of our leaders, Charmaine Robinson, spoke about a very powerful experience she'd had on that night. She and her husband, Mark, lost their lovely son, Christian, in 2017. And as we all know, that journey through bereavement is such a difficult and painful journey. But she described on that night, after somebody prayed with her, an experience of a great weight being lifted from her chest. And she said it was like a breeze block being taken off. And it was just very encouraging for all of us to hear of that experience of healing. Now, you having completed the first Alpha course online, would you be able to tell people how did it work practically? What was it like for them to come along each Wednesday evening for an hour? What way did it unfold?
Well, I think maybe some of this comes across as a bit selfish, but the convenience of being able to use Zoom, and of course we've all become used to it during lockdown, etc., and to be able to tune in, as it were, in your own home, in the comfort of your own home. And I think maybe particularly so in the autumn, going into winter time, it's good to get out there. Time management was really important as well. I think you led the course, John, and you always made a point of it would be 1 hour, and sure enough, 25 minutes or so for a video. Then in breakout groups, maybe a 20-minute discussion, and a short time at the end to sort of summarise and review the evening. So what was very good about it was, I think maybe because people were at home, they were more relaxed. There was really good interaction amongst the group. Sometimes people are very reticent in a church hall or other environment. But this was much more relaxed, and certainly as the weeks went on, it was much more relaxed. And to an extent, a degree of confidentiality within the group. I think trust was built up within the members that were there. So I found it very, very good. And some people said they really looked forward to the Wednesday evening and the Alpha over Zoom.
Norman, thank you very much for talking to me today and sharing your experience with us. Now, if you've been watching our broadcast today And you might be interested yourself in participating in our next Alpha course. We hope to be beginning on the 6th of January. And the course will run for about 12 weeks on consecutive Wednesdays from 8 to 9. And we will send you a link over Zoom if you'd like to take part. The details will appear on the screen above you as you watch. And also, if you wanted to contact me personally, or if you want to contact our parish office at St. Finian's for more information, we'd be delighted to hear from you, and we'd love to have your company for the next 12 weeks or so as we share this experience together. Thanks very much.
Every day we ask so many questions. What should I wear? What's the weather going to be like? How am I going to fit everything in? But then there are those bigger questions, like why am I here? Where am I heading? Is there more to life than this?
I had arrived at an answer to the most important issue that we humans ever deal with. Is there a God? And I had arrived there without ever really looking at the evidence. And I was supposed to be a scientist.
At 28, I had gotten many of the things that I thought I wanted. My girlfriend was on the cover of magazines, I had a Beamer, and I was so unhappy. It was a realization maybe that I would never find happiness where I was looking for it.
I think for so many years, you know, I always just strived to be strong in myself. All I needed was me and my buddies and, you know, we'd be like invincible. But the truth is, none of us are.
I found purpose, I found meaning, I found hope. God took something so broken and made it a beautiful art piece.
Alpha is a place where you can be yourself. You can say what you think and challenge everything. Like, no question is too complex or too simple. And what your point of view is as important as anyone else's.
We are going on a journey together, an adventure to explore the questions of life, faith, and meaning.
As we prepare now in a few minutes to light some candles and to pray through some of the challenges that face people at the present time with the backdrop of a global pandemic, we're first of all today really thankful to God for news of a vaccine this week, and we pray for the rolling out of that vaccination program over the coming months. But as we prepare to light our candles and to pray through some of those difficult situations facing so many of us at the present time, we're going to first of all still our hearts to reflect, as Mark plays, "Be still and know that I am God."
Thank you.
We're going to light a number of candles now. And the first candle that I'm going to light is a candle to remember those persons whom we love, but alas, we see no longer. As I light this first candle, I'm thinking in particular of three people today. You may be thinking of other people. First person I'm thinking about is Chippy Baird. Chippy was the chairman of Malone Rugby Club, and he died suddenly last week. He was a very sociable man, greatly loved by so many in the community. And our prayers today are with his wife, Shiona, and his two sons, Ryan and Jamie. I'm also thinking today of a young man from my old school who I have been in touch with, who lost his brother, Andrew, after mental health struggles in the last few months. And in the last month in particular, in November, John has been involved in a huge fundraising venture through Movember. And so I'm thinking of John's family today and remembering Andrew. The last person I'm thinking of as I light our first candle is my father-in-law, Johnny, who died a couple of weeks ago and brought great warmth and care and love, not just to our family, but also to the local community through his role. So whoever you are remembering today, we pause just to remember their name, their face, and their voice. We give thanks for the memory that binds us to them. May God's eternal love surround them. We light our second candle today to redeem the pain of loss, the loss of relationships, the loss of jobs, the loss of health. And as we gather up the pain of the past, we offer it to you, our Heavenly Father, asking that into our open hands you will place the gift of peace. Refresh, restore, renew us, O God, and lead us into the future. We light this third candle today to remember ourselves at this Christmas time. We pause and remember the past weeks, months, and for some of us, years of down times. We remember the poignancy of memories, the grief, the sadness, the hurts, the pain of reflecting on our own mortality. Let us remember that dawn eases away the darkness. This fourth candle today is lit to remember our faith and the gift of hope which God offers to each one of us in the Christmas story. We remember that God, who shares our life, promises us a place and time when there is no more pain and where every tear shall be wiped away. Let us remember the one who shows the way and who goes with us into our tomorrows. We light our final candle today just to remember any particular situation of pain or darkness in your life. And we just take a moment to bring those situations before God, and we ask for his healing and strength and support. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we have been thinking about in our service today and recognizing life can be so unpredictable, joys and sorrows, beautiful blessings and distressing difficulties can all come unexpectedly. Our life's dreams and plans can change in an instant. We all know this to be true, so how can we find peace amidst such turbulence? The writer of our next hymn, Horatio Spafford, was a man who knew something about life's unexpected challenges. He was a successful lawyer, a property developer, and sadly, he lost a fortune in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. And around the same time, his beloved 4-year-old son died of scarlet fever. And thinking that a holiday would do his family some good, he sent his wife and his 4 daughters on a ship to England, and he planned to join them after he had finished some pressing business meetings at home. However, while crossing the Atlantic Ocean, the ship carrying his wife and 4 daughters was involved in a terrible collision, and it sunk. More than 200 people lost their lives, including all 4 of Horatio Spafford's precious daughters. His wife Anna survived the tragedy, and upon arriving in England, she sent a telegram to her husband that began, "Saved alone. What shall I do?" Horatio immediately set sail for England. And at one point during his voyage, the captain of the ship, aware of the tragedy that had struck the Spafford family, summoned Horatio to tell him that they were now passing over the spot where that dreadful shipwreck had occurred. And as Horatio thought about his daughters, words of comfort and hope filled his heart and mind. He wrote them down, and they've since become a well-beloved hymn. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. Now, if we are totally honest, as we think of some of these challenging situations that we are thinking of this morning, perhaps we can't always say that everything is well in all aspects of our lives. There will always be storms to face, and sometimes there will be tragedies. But what I want to suggest today is that with faith in a loving God and with trust in his divine help, we can ultimately come to a point where we can confidently say, it is well with my soul. Let's hear that beautiful hymn now. us pray. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to us in great humility, that on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal, through him who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Father in heaven, who sent your Son to redeem the world, and will send him again to be our judge, give us grace so to imitate him in the humility and purity of his first coming, that when he comes again, we may be ready to greet him with joyful love and firm faith through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And in the spirit of this season, let us now ask our God for what we need for ourselves as we participate in the Christmas season, as people coping with our loss, pain, suffering, loneliness, grief, and sadness, as the darkness has wrapped itself around our hearts. Compassionate God, there are those among us who are grieving over what might have been. A death or loss has changed our experience of Christmas. A loved one may have moved away, or we have lost a job, a dream, a goal, a cause, and we find ourselves adrift, alone, lost, and forlorn. We ask, Lord, that you would walk with us through the pain, heal our hearts, bind up our brokenness with your love. And we ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And so may Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you, gladden your hearts, and scatter the darkness from before you. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. It's been lovely to share this service with you today, and our closing hymn is a reminder to us of the true friend we have as we journey through difficult days. What a friend we have in Jesus.